Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code Locked On to save $10 off your first order of the best tasting protein bars I promise you will ever have. Today's show is going to be an interesting one. We're going to jump around a little bit. We haven't really gotten specifically to what we think the Lakers schedule might look like whenever they start playing games in Orlando. There has been quite a bit of discussion about whether the Lakers would entertain bringing back DeMarcus Cousins. Per Eric Pincus, they can, and he would be playoff eligible. And then we do still have a couple questions left over from the mailbag, but I actually do have a fun hypothetical question that we haven't asked in a little while. Peter, you ready for it?
Let's go.
All right. Is there anything you're like stupid that you're really bad at that you wish you could get better at?
Cooking.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Cooking.
I was thinking, yeah, I guess
that qualifies. Or you want something? You want something stupider than that?
Well, I mean, I guess it kind of works for you because of how bad at cooking you are. I was thinking we just met the neighbors that we're gonna have up when we move into the house.
Okay.
And it reminded me of how terrible I am with names.
Oh,
really, really, really bad. Yeah, with names.
I'm pretty bad with that too, and that's tough. That's the worst too, when somebody knows your name.
Yeah,
and you really should know their name back.
Right.
And yeah, how did you navigate that? Did Jen know?
Oh, a whole bunch of man, bro,
dude, bro. Uh-huh,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, or you just like you try not to say anything. I am so bad at it that. Like somebody, well, it's tough. By this point, everybody listening to the show knows that my friends and family call me Fred. I am Fred with everybody else. Fred is a really hard name to not get, right? To not remember. Mm-hmm. I think in the entirety of my time to this point of my life, I've met two other Freds. That's it. Mm-hmm. A third one is Fred Weasley from Harry Potter. and you know, so when I introduce myself, hey, yeah, I'm Fred. They get that right away. They know from that point on, because they also have to. They usually ask Frank, no, Fred. Oh, Fred! Wow, you don't hear very much about that. And then from that point on, they're going to remember Fred. And then next time I see that person, I know that they're going to come up and say, "Hey, what's up, Fred? How's it going?" And I'm like, "Great, man. How you doing, bud?" I'm so bad at it. I'm so terrible at it. I wish I could get better.
Yeah, no, I'm not great with that either, but I'm okay. But yeah, for me, cooking would be the I might perish without help.
Can we make this like a video thing, like some video content where I teach you how to cook, like over Skype or something like that?
Yeah, I don't think you're getting video content out of me. Sorry.
Good point.
Yeah.
Rules. All right. So that'll do that. So let's move on over to the question of the day. I think that the top topic of the day, I actually want to start with this DeMarcus Cousins conversation, because I think we're going to get the most out of it. And then from there, we'll hop on over to the schedule, seeing as we know more about DeMarcus Cousins than we know about the Lakers schedule. So that's why we're going in this direction. Per Eric Pincus, and it's been kind of fun to watch him handle this. I'm just going to go through his timeline here. He started with, "I get this question daily. Lakers can re-sign Cousins if they wanted and he wanted. Teams cut and re-sign players. That's not an uncommon thing. It's not a rule in this context." Then as a follow-up to those still confused, the Los Angeles Lakers can re-sign DeMarcus Cousins to play basketball in the NBA for this season. Now, I haven't 100% seen the official rules specific to the return from pandemic, so maybe there's something new beyond normal rules. And then somebody else asks, would he be playoff eligible? Pink is visibly frustrated at this point. Not hating on anyone here, but it's still somehow like quicksand, though. The Lakers can sign Cousins tweet results in like 100 responses asking for clarification. Yes, he'd be playoff eligible. Eric, I was about to send you a DM and I'm glad I didn't.
he's a saint. Yeah.
Oh man. I kind of want to send him a DM
just to mess with him.
Just to mess with him a little bit. But all right. So now that we know that the Lakers could indeed add DeMarcus Cousins back to their roster and have him, now that he was, you would imagine, 100% healthy, right? Or healthier than he would normally have been than the Lakers ever could have predicted he would be this season, right? I think that's a better way to put it. Now, knowing that, would you still opt for the Deion Waiters route? Because they would have to waive somebody. There are 15 players on the roster right now. They would have to waive somebody. Waiters is the likely candidate to be waived. Would you waive him for Cousins? Waive somebody else for Cousins? Ideally, you know, that Rondo guy would be the best case scenario here, but I don't think that's happening.
No.
Yeah. So it's probably going to come down to Waiters or Boogie. Would you do that?
I would not. I'd keep Waiters. I know Waiters is not going to physically break down, or he's a lot less likely to than Boogie would. We also have two backup bigs, or we have two, you know, traditional fives that have filled the position admirably. I don't think we need a third, especially considering AD playing the five in the playoffs is probably going to be more prominent than it was mm-hmm. in the regular season. I don't see the potential position for him. Whereas with Waiters, if we need somebody off the bench that can get their own bucket, he's somebody that can do that, especially if Rondo is failing in that. So yeah, for me, it's just, if Boogie was healthy, I think you could make a pretty good argument for it, but I just don't trust his body to make it through the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't think either player, like, we're talking about literally the 15th man on the roster,
mm-hmm.
right? So either way, no matter what direction they go in here, I don't think you could do either harm or help your team based on whichever direction the Lakers mm-hmm. go in here. I personally would rather have Boogie though than Waiters. You don't have to worry about, you know, any kind of chemistry issues with Boogie. He's been around the team all year. Everybody has said to this point, he wouldn't be allowed back. He wouldn't be allowed in Orlando or to work out with the team, right? Because he's, even after they cut him, they basically let him work out and train at the team facility while everybody was still training at the team facility.
Right.
And you know, throughout the year, all the guys have talked about how important Boogie has been in the locker room and during games, in that, you know, he's one of the few who will actually stand up to and challenge LeBron or Anthony Davis. You know, I think that the Lakers' advantage in terms of team chemistry is such that I would do whatever I can to strengthen that advantage and take full advantage of what they have there. And you know, I just don't trust Deion Waiters. Like, I don't want to be the team that takes a chance on Deion Waiters here if the Lakers have somebody who already fits in the locker room in ways that Waiters just won't. I don't think you're going to get the same thing out of him. I don't think either is going to make or miss or screw up the season. But if that's the direction I would go in, or if I was gun to my head, which direction you have to go in, I would go Boogie.
Yeah, I generally agree that neither guy is going to matter that much. And yeah, Boogie could make a difference in the proverbial locker room, right? But the mm-hmm. locker room is going to look a lot different, right? Everybody's,
yeah,
you know, hold up together. And so, yeah, those things are definitely going to matter. I do think there's a good argument for Boogie in that case. I just think at that point, he's more of an assistant coach really than a guy that can help you at this point.
Yep. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I did a little bit of, you know, looking at the schedule here, looking at what the Lakers had before. Basically, we'll go over what the policy is or how the league is going to handle, you know, who plays whom out there in Orlando. So we're going to take a look at the schedule and try to break it down and talk about what we would want to see from the Lakers anyway, because the Lakers are going to be able to, you know, if they win a couple games and the second place team or the teams behind them in the standing lose a couple, now all of a sudden the Lakers there's no real reason for them to play very hard. So when we come back, we're going to talk about all of that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off that first order. Again, that's BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your first order. And then most importantly, or maybe more importantly, or as importantly, I don't know, it's important, but spread the word. Tell people about this product. I have gone out there. I've told my family about it. They have replaced Tiger Milk bars with Built bars in the house back home. I've told my brother-in-law about it. And he is a huge Clif Bar guy. He has replaced them, Clif bars with Built bars. And it's an easy conversation to have because it's an easy conversion to make because the bars taste so good and they are so nutritious. I spent a lot of time obviously talking about how good they taste. That's because I'm a very taste forward guy, but also the fact that they are as nutritious as they are, I've had multiple people, you know, kind of comment, "Hey, have you lost some weight?" I'm doing some other stuff too, but these Built bars have played a huge role in that, in limiting my portion control during the day. If I do feel like having a snack, I'll grab, you know, half a bar out of the fridge and it'll tide me over and it'll convince me, no, you don't need that bag of chips, or no, you don't need to make a run to McDonald's or hop on Postmates or anything like that. So I'm just trying to help you guys help yourselves and then help everybody around you. So again, that's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON to save $10 off your first order. Again, that's BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. All right, so the NBA is saying that they're going to work basically off of the previous schedule that these teams had going into it, and they would skip the games that they would have had to play against teams that aren't going to be in Orlando. I believe the best nickname for that group of teams is the Delete Eight, which is pretty
good. That is good.
So I want to, we'll just really quickly, if that is how they're going to do this, and I'm sure there's going to be some, you know, tinkering here and there based off of matchups and if a team is available to play another team on a certain day, all of that stuff. But as we know it right now, the Lakers would start with Houston, then they would play Denver, they would play Utah twice, which I don't know if they would, the Lakers would want to play Utah twice, but mm-hmm. Who knows? Given the number of other teams out there, I don't know if the league, like mathematically, if it makes sense for the league to have teams play another team twice. But anywho, Utah twice, then they would go against Toronto, against Washington, and then against Indiana as their eighth and final regular season or seeding game or whatever we're going to call it. If that is indeed what the schedule is going to look like, what do you think of it so far?
It starts out pretty tough. I think that's a good thing. The Lakers have a 5.5 game advantage over the Clippers for the number two seed in the West. And I think that that's pretty insurmountable in those eight games.
Yeah.
So I like that the Lakers will get some warmups against some good, because just because you're playing the top 22 doesn't mean you're playing a good team necessarily, right? But those first five games, I believe, are like, those are solid, hey, we could face them in the second round type of games. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. They're going to have to toe the line, I think, between getting ready for the playoffs and ramping up. Right. So there are all sorts mm-hmm. of questions like, how many minutes do you play LeBron and AD, right? When yeah. you've got the number one seed locked up, I think there's an argument to be made that the first game or two should be treated like a preseason game where they play one shift in the first quarter and you call it a night. And then you progress a little mm-hmm. bit, and by game five or six, you're starting to get into more regular playoff rotational minutes. That said, I think it's a good look it's good to be able to get a look at those other teams and those, to get the Lakers ready for the caliber of competition that they'll be facing in the playoffs. So it's a tough road, but I think it works out well for the Lakers.
Utah's a mess right now, frankly. Mm-hmm. So the two Utah games, I'm not particularly concerned about. They are not going to have Bogdanović, which is a huge loss for them. Mm-hmm. Bogdanović is one of the best shooters in the league, and it's pretty insane to think how good a shooter he was throughout the season, given the fact that he apparently needed surgery on his wrist. That's pretty insane.
Yeah, that dude can play. He's really good.
Yeah, yeah, he really is. And so, and then the other concern here I have is that they would be playing Houston, who plays that like super small ball, right? Mm-hmm. And with that being the reintroduction to playing, I don't know. I mean, like you're saying, if you're going to treat it like the first preseason game, then whatever, they're going to lose that game and you move on. Cause I think Houston is going to be playing to win as many games as possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're in the sixth seed right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they, they definitely don't want to slip down another seed or two. And you know, preferably Houston would want to jump up a couple spots if possible. So Houston's going to be playing hard. And the Lakers, like you said, probably are not going to be in that first game, which is kind of too bad, right? Because the first time the Lakers played Houston with that micro ball, it was a really frustrating game and they wound up losing. This is also Houston having as much time off because you have to play. I think I can't really figure out how I feel about Houston going into this weird set format. Now, on one hand, given how hard they have to play night in, night out with that strategy, having the break to kind of completely be fresh and then sprint through these next 30-ish games or whatever it is, I think that's really beneficial to them. But on the other hand, they have to shoot a ton of three-pointers, and it's hard to get back into a rhythm when everybody has been kind of stuck in their house, not able to shoot. So I don't know what Houston's going to look like. It's too bad the Lakers probably aren't going to see them, if they do, until the second round. And, you know, if they see them in the second round, it will be with two of kind of the weirder games that the Lakers have played all year. So yeah, that's kind of too bad. Other than that, though, I'm completely with you. The Lakers probably only really need to win four games at most, right? Which they can probably do, especially on the back end there. They play against Washington. Indiana's a tough game, and Indiana's going to be taking it seriously. But the Utah games are probably going to be walks in the park. Toronto's a tougher team. And then if the league does have the Lakers not play Utah twice in a row, their last game would actually be against Sacramento. And that would be an opportunity to knock Sacramento completely out of the playoffs. That'd be kind of fun. But other than that, you know, it's just a matter of get healthy, get your legs under you, and see if you can recreate some of the level of play that they finished the first, you know, kind of season with. Would you have preferred to seen, you know, the Clippers or the Bucks in this kind of a setting, or do you want to wait until whenever they would have to face them in the Western Conference Finals or whatever?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I prefer it the way that it is. Yeah. In that kind of sharpen everything you said there is about just sharpening up for the playoffs, and I think that you can do that against those teams without being too worried. Like Houston worries me a little bit, just because they're strange. This is a strange circumstance. I think that they could catch fire, right? Yeah. They're the type of team that could theoretically catch fire and be problematic. But by and large, I'm not worried about anyone in the West aside from the Clippers and just a little bit of Houston and out East, the Bucks, right? Like those are the teams I've got my focus on. And so I think I'd prefer them sharpening themselves without giving too much away to the Clippers and Bucks, or, you know, the season series with the Bucks was already concluded. Lakers had one more game against the Clippers, mm-hmm. Although they had the other game that was canceled, right? So they would have had that would have been rescheduled for the end of the year. But again, mm-hmm. both teams would have probably been resting at that point. I prefer things the way they are. Would you have liked to see them against those teams?
I don't care. Honestly, yeah. Probably not, actually, because the reminder that the Lakers have, they got what they needed out of their last two wins against Milwaukee and against the Clippers, right? That they could, for stretches of those games, just dominate those teams, right? Because they did. In both of those games, there were stretches where the Lakers were just much better than both of those teams. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, once you have that amount of confidence, I don't really know what you would gain from playing them another time.
So. Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's take another quick second here. And when we come back, we have a couple questions from the mailbag. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Blinkist. I talked earlier in the show when I was talking about Built Bar, about how I've tried to improve my general self physically, but improving yourself mentally, especially given everything that's going on right now, is probably more important, to be completely honest. And Blinkist makes it extremely easy to do that. They have all of these nonfiction books. They took them in, they condensed the important parts of them into 15-minute news bites or sound bites, and you now get to take in all that's important from those books and continue to improve your own understanding of whatever topic it is that you feel intrigued by. If it's nonfiction in terms of a historical sense, they have that, but they also have self-help books that you can focus on finding whatever it is that you feel like you need to improve. And then, you know, the book that you go through is going to be condensed into this 15-minute soundbite, and they'll help you better understand how best to go about improving yourself. So again, that's Blinkist. It's super unique. It works on your phone, tablet, or your web browser. And I just love Blinkist. We still have another, I'd say, month and a half here before basketball resumes. That's plenty of time to go out there and better inform yourself on all of the important topics of the day. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it for free for 7 days and then save 25% off your new subscription. Again, that's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial, and then you'll also save 25% off of your subscription to follow, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. So I answered this in yesterday's show, and I'm interested in your thoughts in it, Pete, because now that we know that the league is coming back, right? This is a very different question than the first time we probably asked it way back in the day, right when this hiatus was started, was, you know, what impact is this going to have on the league moving forward, right? What and now that we know that there is going to be a league moving forward in the, you know, foreseeable future, for a while there, we weren't sure that they were going to be able to play games at all to finish off this season. But now that we know, right, now that we kind of know what the games are going to look like, is there anything that you're hoping to see from these games just in terms of production or the style of play even, or what have you, moving forward because of coronavirus, because of this hiatus, and because of the unique situation that the NBA is going to be playing games in whenever it resumes? What impact do you think that's going to have on the seasons to come?
I think you've got, first and foremost, the financial impact. I think free agency is going to be massively impacted by the reduced revenue. Mm-hmm. The Lakers may be one of the most impacted teams because Anthony Davis may very well opt into his contract because it might make sense for him to do that and sign a max deal next summer instead. Mm-hmm. So those plans, but in terms of the style of play, I don't know, man. They're talking about like piping in NBA 2K sounds and things like that. Man, let the sneakers squeak. Let them say their 4 and 11 letter words. Let the sneakers squeak, baby. Let the curse words fly. Yeah. You know, cover your children's ears. Let them
introduce your kids to cussing. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Yeah, man. The All-Star game, the way they ended the All-Star game by going to a certain score. Mm-hmm. And remember how fun that was? That fourth quarter was so much fun. The idea of the best basketball players and best basketball teams in the world playing in an empty gym. I'm sorry, this is pretty much the opposite of answering the question you asked me because they're never doing that again. This is what I hope they carry forward from this, is there are some elements of this season, of this weird season, that were very true to the basketball experience, just playing to a score instead of a time, right? Like, mm-hmm. How often in our lives have we ever played with a clock, right? It's only in organized games. Most of the time when you play ball, you're playing to a score. Mm-hmm. The waiting for two teams to get next, I hope they see how popular it is, and that is what they take from it into future years. So, for example, the more we focus on the game and the pure aspects of the game, that should impact how it's covered, right? Like, let's stop doing podcasts with Jeff Van Gundy while there's mm-hmm. a game on. Let's return to, even that was one thing that stood out during The Last Dance, was Costas and Marv Albert and the color commentators. Everyone was into the game. Like,
right.
the play was not better. Yeah, like the play on the court was not better, but the announcing absolutely was. Yeah. And so I hope that the presentation of the game going forward, there are some lessons in this one-off type of year that impact that. But in terms of style of play and all that, I think this is actually detrimental to style of play and to continuity,
yeah,
just because it's so odd and it breaks up their year.
There was a little while when, you know, just for a hot second, there was a bit of a conversation about, hey, should they just play these games outdoors? I was all the way in. I was all the way in on them playing these, like play them on some double rims with some chain net. Oh. Not chain nets, because these guys would actually lose fingers. But
yeah.
But
double rims is cruel enough as it is.
Yeah, but like, could you imagine the game, like, given how 3-point centric it's become,
having to be like, there's a 16-mile-an-hour wind going from northwest to southeast. Andy Green's gonna have to account for that tonight.
They're gonna have to, like, they would have to, like, there'd be the occasion where the camera is right behind the shooter and you see they're aimed way off to the left.
Uh-huh.
Because they're also, right, I think, getting ready to play. They're getting ready for hurricane season, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Florida.
That'll be in September. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, could you just imagine these guys playing? These guys playing is like, it's just gale force winds are behind them. Like,
yeah.
It's just the first to 50 that they can, you know, just with 25 dunks or something like that. Actually, it would probably benefit the Lakers. But yeah, that was a fun, you know, couple seconds of my life where I thought that might actually be something they take seriously. But other than that, though, so I was watching, I said this last night, I was watching the UFC fights over the weekend, and because there were no fans there, you could hear the impact, you know, of punches landed. You could hear the trainers calling out instructions from their corners. You could hear when they went back to their corners, you could hear them kind of talking them through, you know, all these things. And then there was also one point where the camera was right up against the fencing that they have on the octagon, and you could hear, you know, the legitimate struggles that they were making to, you know, somebody was trying to put somebody else in a chokehold, and you could hear the grunting and the mm-hmm. and the panting to try to get out of it, right? It made for this really interesting viewing experience. And That's I think the number one thing that I'm looking forward to here with the production value of these games is that, like, can you have like 50 cameras around the court to, you know, can you put, you know, somebody, a camera person or whatever, somebody working a robotic camera from the scorer's table to make it more interesting. So you get full context of how big these guys are and how explosive they are. Could you get a camera from behind the opposite backboard, right, that's low enough to get the angle so you could see these actions as they're setting up? Mm-hmm. And figure out like why one is working over the other, and you can see the back cuts and the help defenses and all that stuff. I'm really interested in that. And then, you know, you mentioned Jeff Van Gundy, and, you know, I said this yesterday and I've said this a few times, but I'm partnered with Hot Mike, and I really kind of wonder if Van Gundy is so bad, because we know we're going to have a ton of eyes and ears on these games. Mm-hmm. If Van Gundy remains so bad, will people actually tune him out? You know, because basically the way Hot Mic works is you'll be, you know, I'll be watching the game with you guys with my audio, and it just kind of replaces, you know, you're still watching through your TV, but you would be listening to me watch the game with you essentially. And if it's not just me, but if there are other options out there that add more to the game than Jeff Van Gundy talking on a podcast, given how many more ears eyes are going to be on these games, will ESPN kind of learn, and will Turner learn, hey, we were doing this wrong all this time. Is there somebody out there who's more entertaining than the guys that we pay an astronomical amount of money to offer a better experience than what we've offered them all these years? I'm really interested in that. And, you know, this is the kind of time where something like that might actually happen. You know, I don't think it's possible to exaggerate how many people are going to be watching these games. Like, there's going to be so many people watching these games, and
all of them too, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. Take a minute to get sick of this. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if there is somebody out there who does offer a better audio experience than Jeff Van Gundy whining about tacos and whether or not ketchup belongs on tacos for a half hour out of the game, is that something that, you know, we're really going to stick with moving forward? And would that get Jeff Van Gundy to actually care about the game that's going on? Those are the kind of things, you know, granted I'm nerd and I'm biased because it's something that I'm going to be doing too, but those are the kind of things that I'm really looking for here moving forward. Cause the offering up of these games, the entertainment value that they've offered has plateaued, and it probably plateaued a good 30, 40 years ago. It hasn't really improved. It hasn't really evolved in all this time. Is this something that gets them to evolve? And I'm with you. Don't pipe in noise. Like, if they did pipe in noise, would they pipe in louder noise as the game goes along? Would they pipe in boos for a bad call? You know,
probably not. Yeah.
So yeah, give me the sounds of the sport, the sounds that basketball produces are really interesting. Like, would Jeff Van Gundy actually focus on the game knowing that the people who were playing, the players, can actually hear him talk about ketchup while they're shooting free throws?
Well, I think to take it a different direction than your rhetorical question, when you're close to a live action, especially in an NBA game, the amount that they talk to each other and communicate on defense, yeah, is really cool. Mm-hmm. And just the amount of communication, even like LeBron setting up the offense and,
yeah,
just the little, you know, yeah, the, you know, Rondo calling out the play of the other team. Mm-hmm. He does that a lot. Things like that, like, it's going to be weird, but it can still be cool, right? Like, yeah, like, lean into the weirdness of what this, yeah, is going to be. Absolutely. That's what I want to see them do.
Yeah, I want a mic on Frank Vogel so that when Rondo gets blown by for the third time in a row, that you can actually hear him say, "Fuck, I have to play that guy." Like, give me audio from good Lord, why am I blanking on this? From timeouts and stuff like that. When as LeBron is walking by, Vogel, you actually ask LeBron, "Do we have to keep playing him? Like, he hasn't gotten better. We were supposed to get playoff Rondo, and he's not playoff Rondo. Can we play somebody else?" I want that exchange. I want that exchange in my life.
Yeah, we might hear it just off of a hot mic, so we'll see.
I'm here for it. I'll provide it, though, if you guys are listening on hot mic. I'll do that for you guys. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code Locked On, and save $10 off of your first box of bars there. Tomorrow's show, we'll be back here. I'm sure we're going to keep getting some details. We found out that the Spurs are not going to have LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm sure the league feels great having twisted itself into knots trying to get the Spurs involved in this somehow. Good going there, guys. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.